Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer founded and queer run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3XS to 6XL. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com. Shop now on tomboyx.com.
Welcome to It Could Happen Here, a podcast increasingly about nurses' strikes. And yeah, this is part two of our interview with Nick, a nurse in the UK. Enjoy. We've entered the topsy-turvy land where the RCN seems to be the people who are like leading on the militancy in this front.
Yeah. And I think part of it comes down to is because the RCN was historically, for a significant part of its history, was not a union, became a union late in the day, was for ages anti-strike. A lot of unions, because like we can talk about the general critique of unions and particularly like institutional unions, how they become service providers, how they build up like a protective bureaucracy against militant struggle or against like grassroots militancy. The RCN, it's not a particularly democratic as these things go, but it doesn't have that kind of built up institutional inertia in the trade union side because historically it hasn't needed it. And that meant, I think, it was actually far more susceptible to grassroots pressure and militancy than some of the other more established unions were.
And
And that kind of like was the thin end of the wedge for the RCN to take a very strong stance over the pay rise in response to like grassroots organizing and like a demand from the grassroots to do that, which then resulted in them like balloting for strike action first, which then meant other unions had to. And then we got the cascade of like strikes in the NHS that have occurred since then.
So this is a very, very broad question to be asking, but how have the strikes been going?
That's kind of a difficult one to say. So, Scotland, for instance, has not been called out, has not actually had any strike days because the Scottish government went into negotiations to begin with and then made an offer. It was rejected. Strikes were announced. They made another, agreed to come back negotiations. So, like, it's been effective in getting something moving in Scotland. Their current offer of 15% over 2 years, so 6-something this year, 5-something next year, is currently being voted on by the RCN membership. It's not a good, but it's a significant move in what came before. Wales, the Welsh government, after saying, no, we can't have any more money. We literally can't because Westminster controls our budget. Westminster won't give us any more budget for this, has now made an improved offer. It's crap. but it's like something. It's forced them to shift when they were claiming it was physically impossible for them to do it.
Which every single time, like I can think of exactly one time ever where I've seen an employer make that demand and it was actually true. But this is not like that. That was like what Norfolk Southern in like the 1970s. And it was only true once and it's never been true ever since then. Like you will hear this from every fucking employer who you attempt to go on strike against. And they're always lying. Like every single time.
What I will say is, like, in the case of Wales, it is very true. The Welsh government's budget is set by Westminster, by the central government. So it's a lie, but it's a plausible lie.
Yeah.
And Wales is generally massively... Wales has, like, some of the highest rates of child poverty outside of Eastern Europe in Europe. The reasons... Part of the reasons for this is because the Welsh government is chronically underfunded.
Yeah, yeah.
Due to political decisions made in England. But it's still not true. And then in England, like, it's got to the point where a government who are categorically opposed to any negotiations with trade unions have actually come to the negotiating table. So from that, although I suspect with loads of preconditions that haven't been publicly talked about, and they're going to not make a credible offer, in my view, and as a stalling tactic. But the fact they even chose to come to the table at all, I hate saying this because it's the kind of thing that makes people complacent, but that is actually quite big, that the Conservative government actually agreed to do it, to come to the negotiating table, stopped hiding behind, oh, there's an independent pay body that decides these things, stopped saying we can't afford to fund the NHS anymore, actually just coming and sitting at the table at all to negotiate. Is like a big move in of itself. Now, if we talk about numbers of participation in strikes, there's been a lot of difficulties, a lot of nowhere near as many people have participated in the strikes as should have been, I will be frank and say. So now we're going to talk about the derogations, the situation of derogations, which is like the RCN voluntarily saying, we will allow this many people to continue working these days and these areas in order to maintain patient safety, which is, on one hand, we don't want any patients to die, obviously. On the other hand, it's a very easily abused stance to take. And there are just nurses who are in other trade unions who aren't in trade unions as well. And ultimately, if they want that not to happen, they need to just come to the table earlier. And so this resulted in a process where so ITU and time-sensitive chemo and paediatric A&Es were derogated by default. And then there was an agreement of if the wards had less than like nighttime numbers, we would agree for a small amount of our membership to go in to work on those wards to maintain nighttime numbers for the sake of patient safety, but that had to be applied for on a case-by-case basis. But there's a couple of problems with this. One, trust just not taking it seriously, lying, not trying to establish these things to make accurate requests, leaving it to the last minute and then asking for blanket derogations. We don't know if it's going to be safe or not. Managers, like ward managers, not actually knowing what was agreed and giving incorrect information to their staff, people not understanding what was and wasn't derogated. And just generally, it was a system that was very open to abuse. And so, like, a lot of things were just left open in general, or like that shouldn't have been. But at the same time, I know that it didn't happen in every case, but like, there was a lot of success in like members of the strike committee going round wards and saying, no, you're over number, you need to come out, and people doing it, of like surgeries being cancelled, like elective surgeries, non-time sensitive surgeries being cancelled due to it, of like really making hospital managers sweat over like proving each thing needed to happen, needed to happen those days, all of which built up, even if we didn't get the full amount of people we should have had out on strike, really built up the pressure significant degrees on them to then put the pressure up the chain of the NHS to the government. It's like, we can't keep on going on like this. And at the same time, each set of strikes, the number of people participating did increase. So like, for instance, I've just got the government statistics from the 15th of December, I think it is. So this was the first strike day that was called. It was 9,999 absences due to industrial action. Then on the 20th, it was 11,509. Then on the 18th and 19th of January, and just one important factor, they didn't call all hospitals out at once. Again, I think a strategic mistake, should have gone hard fast. But the argument was, we don't have the facilities to organize all of this effectively on all of these massive amounts. Because like, it was a huge amount of trusts they needed to do that with. But then on those days, it was then 11,363 and 11,219 across those 2 days. Then in February, it was 15,998.
Wow.
And then 14 on the second day, 14,000, and then 58 people, which is far lower than it should have been. I can't remember how many people there are, nurses are on the NHS, so I should have had that statistic ready. But it's not an inconsiderate amount. It meant lots of outpatients' appointments being cancelled, a lot of surgeries being cancelled, a lot of chaos and stress for the managers of the NHS and therefore for the government are looking really bad for them. And it's a clear upwards trajectory, which meant that when the RCN announced, we're going to do 2 days consecutive, we're going to keep it going through the night, which they hadn't done previously, and we're not doing derogations. ITU will be staffed, we're not doing anything else. I think, no, even ITU wasn't staffed. We'd consider it on a case-by-case basis. We won't be considering...
What's ITU? Sorry.
Intensive care. ICU for America.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So that meant that at that point, the government okay, we need to move to a new delaying tactic. They're not just going to give up. And I think with that, as it went on, people were itching to go further. And so, for instance, A&E was derogated, which is the area I work in. But a lot of people, and this is reflective of most areas that were derogated, when I spoke to people who weren't, they were like, no, we need to be out. We need to be out the picket line. And after the first two rounds, there was also a growing effort to try and find out from the membership what the actual situation was, so that on staffing on the wards, because all wards are chronically understaffed. So when they said, oh, well, we need this amount of people, we say, no, we know that's a lie. We know on nights there's actually only 3 registered nurses. There's not the 4 you're claiming and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, I think was a really positive move in embedding a kind of workers' inquiry and workers' knowledge about their workplace into the organising of the strike that had been quite a top-down process.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And I'm kind of worried about how this delay and break in the strike action will affect that momentum that had been building up. I think to a large degree, people are itching to go again. And I think that desire to go again is building as it goes. When it initially happened, when this strike was initially called off, there was a lot of trust, in the big WhatsApp groups and stuff, and talking to people. There was a lot of people thinking, at least, I don't know if this was representative general opinion, but people being were quite vocal and being saying, no, we need to trust, Pat knows what she's doing. They wouldn't have called it off for this thing. It's getting more and more of those people being no, we need to get back on the picket line. And there's been a petition that's been going around, that's been getting quite a bit of news, setting out some hard lines, to the RNC leadership about what kind of stuff they should accept, saying, no, we need to stick to the above inflation busting. We need to not compromise on this. We need to not compromise on this, which is, I think, got 880 signatures at the moment, which doesn't sound like a huge amount, but again, you're going through quite a lot of inertia of attitude of you've got to leave it to the leadership among the membership, even when they were unhappy with it. And it's only 1,000 signatures that are necessary in the RCN's, where the RCM works, to call an extraordinary general meeting, which then can do pretty much whatever it wants. And that's how the leadership in 2018 was kicked out after the bad pay deal then.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah. So the RCN very undemocratic, except for this one particular thing.
Yeah, is that a normal thing that is it like a normal thing for unions in the UK, or is that just like a weird?
Most, I think, all unions have a amount of people, a set amount where if like membership's calling for an extraordinary general meeting, they have to do it. The RCN's one is really low.
Interesting.
Essentially, and like there were some moves where like people in the RCN need to say, "Oh, we need to change it. We need to get rid of that." And we need to raise it to be more in line with other unions. that again is something that if that does happen, that kind of change would have to go to like a membership wide vote. It's not something the executive leadership could just impose.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/news and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/news. Identity theft protection starts here.
So, like, there is a process of, like, these strikes were, like, a result of, like, increasing general level of militancy among nurses in general and among NHS workers. And I think particularly because everyone knows it's awful, the situation.
Yeah.
And then with like a slightly more organized and spear in it that resulted in that petition in 2018, arguing for stuff at like congresses and things. And then that's what active strike has like got the membership feeling like they should have a more active role. And I think it's pushing things in a positive direction, even though I think the RCN leadership has gotten to a point where by mistake, it ended up way ahead of the other unions and is now trying to backpedal. But I think there's a lot of potential for like more grassroots organized by the membership to prevent that happening.
Yeah.
We are in a difficult position, though, in that the time is running out. Strike mandates in the UK only last for 6 months.
Mm.
We are at... When the government agreed to negotiations, we're at 2.5 months left of the mandate. It's now 2 months left of the mandate. You have to give 2 weeks' notice before strike action.
Oh, so that's what the sort of, like, run-out-the-clock strategy is about on their side. Okay, that makes sense.
Exactly. Now, nothing's to stop us from reballoting.
Yeah.
But it'll be a whole process. It has to be a month. It has to go through the mail.
Yeah.
It'll be drawn out. It will buy them a lot more time.
Yeah. Also, postal workers, I think, are on strike again today, too. I think so.
I've got the strike calendar up on my computer. Let's see who's on strike today.
Like an absolute fraud. I have it on my other computer, but I don't have it on this one.
Yeah. So today's the 15th. Today, Amazon's on strike in Coventry. The BBC's regional services, the civil service, which will kind of be equivalent to like a federal stuff in America. So like, for instance, my dad, who's a health and safety inspector, is on strike today. HMRC, which is the tax office, is on strike. Junior docs is on strike. Ofsted, the school instructors, are on strike. The two main rail unions are on strike. Teachers are on strike, and university staff on strike. Not the postal service today.
Yeah. Well, I guess I wanted to ask a bit about that too, about sort of just what's been happening. I don't know what you see as sort of the potential of the broader strikes that have been happening, because this is a. I don't know. I mean, it's not like a 1970s style like strike wave, but it's a lot of strikes for the UK in the last sort of decade.
It's big. Like, there isn't the level of cross-union cooperation and talks that you would want. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like people turning up to each other's picket lines. There's a lot of like solidarity present, but it's not coalescing into a unified movement, which you'd hope it to be. Although I do think if something doesn't change, it is moving in that direction. And like, the Conservative government is at like an all-time low in its popularity ratings.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if you're aware from this quote from Margaret Thatcher about how her main political goal was remaking the soul of Britain. Away, because like, up until that period, there was a very strong trade union movement in the UK. It had like one of the best social democracies in the world, like comparable to Scandinavia today. It was far more like a collective attitude in the UK. And like, Margaret Thatcher's explicit, I can't remember the exact quote, but explicit project and the project of the Conservative Party at the time, let's not put it all on her, great woman theory of history is as bad as great man theory of history, to move the general social attitude and personality of like people in Britain away from that like orientations like community and collective struggle and action. And there is a part of me that feels like this is a move away from that, because like, everyone you go to, there's whinging about like an inconvenience caused by a strike, but pretty much everyone is like, yeah, those, they have it's awful for them. It's all the strike drivers. Good on them for standing up for themselves. Good on the teachers for standing up for themselves. Good on postal workers for standing up for themselves. Good on nurses for standing up for themselves. Like, the amount of like stuff I've been brought by people on the picket lines has been incredible. It's like, each day I've just been like rolling down the hill from my hospital to my house, like with a bloated stomach from like stuff members of the public have brought and dropped off at the picket line. It makes me feel like the optimist part of me, it does feel like there is a reorientation in general of British public to like the idea that we don't have to put up with this.
Yeah.
And you don't have to struggle and try and get it on your own. And like, it's early days yet, but I do see something positive moving in that direction in the UK as a result of this strike wave.
Yeah, that is great news from a place that does not usually generate great news.
This is the deeply optimistic part of me. On the other hand, you have like bad, a lot of bad news coming out of the UK at the moment.
Yeah,
but this strike wave is good news. It is the fact that it's happening in the NHS in particular, which has been so resistant to industrial action historically, and also just because of what a significant part of the economy it is as well. Because like, the NHS is the eighth biggest employer in the world.
Wow, I didn't know it was in the world. That's wild.
Yeah. Like, it used to be, like, the fifth biggest in the world.
Wow.
It used to only be that the American Army, the Chinese Army, McDonald's and Walmart were being employees in the NHS. We've been overtaken by Amazon and such now, but...
Yeah.
And, like strike action... So, like, from, like, a worker's perspective, like, strike action of, like, the largest section of the workforce, nurses, in the NHS, the eighth biggest employer in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving aside the situation for everything else in the UK, leaving aside their history of the opposition, like the active opposition to the idea of striking within nursing historically in the UK, is huge news and something to be hopeful about. And then put into the context of the more broader strike wave in the UK and within the NHS in general, this is huge. And it is a sign, I think, of a positive change and like reorientation towards workplace struggle occurring, I think.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
So I've now heard two different places do this, which was, I heard this in Chile in 2019, and I heard this also on my picket line at the University of Chicago in 2019, which is, this is the place neoliberalism was born and we will kill it here.
And, well, I mean, those are the three places, Chile, Chicago, and the UK.
Yeah, I think also arguably Germany, although that has a whole other... The Ordo Libs are,
I think Ordo Libs, from my understanding of it, from listening to some things about it years ago, it's more of a family resemblance than the exact same thing as neoliberalism.
Yeah, I mean, I think they got absorbed into the neoliberal bubble insofar as like they're the Ordo Libs are where the neoliberals got the sort of like, we need to have like an international bureaucracy, like sort of legal bureaucracy from, like Hayek is also like heavily involved. Yeah, that's a whole other story. But yeah, like it is encouraging to me that it's like, I don't know, it really does seem like in the places where neoliberalism was born, it's like it's starting to come apart.
Yeah,
and you know, I know people have been predicting the death of neoliberalism for like long, well, almost as long as I've been alive. But I don't know, this like. The fact that it's happening in these places seems different than
it does seem significant. Done it. I think it is significant. I think I am cautiously excited. Every time I hope something bad happens, but I am hopeful now. And you know, my brain isn't magic, so there can't be a causative effect there.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, like, you are the second person I've interviewed from the UK who actually seemed to be, like, somewhat optimistic about the direction it could possibly be going, which is the first time I've heard that in, like... I mean, I guess there are people who are optimistic about Corbyn, but, yeah, I don't know. This is the first sort of, like, signs of that since... I don't know, a long time. And I think,
yeah,
look, like, if, and I was saying this to the American listeners, like, if Turf Island isn't doomed, then we're not doomed either. Like,
it's, I don't know. Here's what I'm going to say. You're overtaking us on the,
it's true. And yeah, we have.
Yeah.
I don't know when this is coming out, but
I'm going to be honest, man. Like, there's a lot of ways the UK is better than America.
Oh yeah. The US like is, it's a real disaster. Like it's,
but, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're both equally bad in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I think the things that, like, people in the US look at England and say, this is awful, and the things people in the UK look at the US and say, this is awful, it's kind of a child looking at their parent and being pissed off at them, and a parent looking at their child and being disappointed in them.
You know? It's like, no, you both suck. It's just family resemblance.
It's a narcissism of small differences, like, yeah. Between the US and the UK a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I guess, do you have anything else that you want to say about the strikes?
I think the fact it got this far is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much further that needs to go. I'm really excited. And I'm really scared. I think this is the potential for, like, a turning point around both for the NHS, but for my profession, for nursing. And also, like, in general, in the context of the wider strike rage for the UK. But, you know, the higher the stakes, the higher the perils, like, I think this is our fight to lose, essentially. Like, I think if we go seriously and, like, the membership takes control of it from, like, from the union leadership, which is very cautious, which has been put into position of being more of, like, unprecedented militancy almost by accident while trying to appease the membership, we can achieve something incredible. But it's really, the book's open, it can go either way. And, like, I'm excited and I'm terrified by it.
Yeah, if people want to support the strikes, where can they go? Is there a strike fund they can donate to?
Yep, the RCN has an open strike fund that I would invite anyone listening to donate to. I would also, like, find the articles about the petition that have been going around, like, demanding the RCN leadership takes a stronger stance, and, like, just share that around generally, create more visibility on that.
Yeah, we'll put links to both of those in the description.
Yeah. Those are the main things I would suggest. Again, the national nature of this struggle and the fact that it's not even really against our direct employers makes it harder to talk specifically about this thing or that thing in some ways. But yeah, those are the two things I would ask. Like, the bigger our strike pot, the easier it is to, like, argue for more aggressive action. And the more visibility there is on that petition, the more it'll take a lot more than a petition to, like, shift things to the roots to be in the forefront and the leadership position of this. But it's something that will make people feel more empowered, put more pressure on the leadership. It's like a small stepping point towards what we need. I'd also like to recommend a book to anyone who wants to find out more about the history of the NHS and the current situation there. Some comrades of mine, like, from a group called the Angry Workers, and also Revolution. Oh, I always forget the other group they did it with's name. Oh, this is embarrassing. Yeah, Anarchist Communist Group wrote, and Healthcare Workers United, which is, like, a network I'm involved in, like, put together a book called Sick of It, which is, like, a collection of workers' inquiries and reflections on the NHS, its history, its potentials, and stuff. That's really a great book. Sadly, not available as an ebook, but it's an excellent read, and, like, it'll give you a real insight into what the NHS has been historically and what it is now for anyone who's interested in that.
That's awesome. Yeah, the Angry Workers are really cool, by the way. They're on Twitter. I probably should have. It's probably just angry workers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Wait, no, I'm wrong. It's workers. It's at workers angry. I think. Wait, no, is this the right one?
No, it's it's at workers angry. It is.
Yeah,
workers angry. I'm not on Twitter. I don't know about these things.
It is a cursed place.
Getting more cursed.
Oh God, yeah. If you want to find us at Twitter, we are at Cool Zone Media. We're also on Instagram. I'm told we're on Instagram. I don't have one, so I don't know. This is what I've been being told for many years. If we don't tell me. And thank you all for listening. And yeah, go do your own strikes. Make bosses' lives miserable.
Please, the more strikes are going on, the more people want to go on strike.
Hey!
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code iHeart for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.